You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So that like last segment touched a nerve.
A little bit. You think?
I do. So let's go ahead and lower my blood pressure. And let's talk to somebody with elite takes and higher intelligence than Mike Greenberg.
Yes, very much so.
Let's talk to Jeff Mitis, PGA Pro on Tee to Green every Saturday on your dial. And an awesome human being on the Westerr Hotline. Jeff, it's been a couple of weeks, but it's good to hear from you again.
That's one of the best introductions I've ever gotten. Wow, thank you. Yeah.
My check's in the mail, right?
Yeah. Not a big one, believe me. But it has been a few weeks, but we're back talking about golf again, and the weather outside's conducive to it. Maybe not right now, but it's exciting. The major season is here, and it's been an interesting event so far, but it's only halfway done. The weekend's going to tell the story of what this event ends up being.
And with the PGA Championship, obviously we have a huge story of it leading into it with Rory McIlroy. By the way, great job by you and Kevin Sylvester that weekend, both calling your shot. Yeah, I know it's not really like the strongest of takes of Rory McIlroy will win the green jacket, but like,
I mean, it's taken 11 years. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you guys did nail it.
Well, I also picked him this week, and last I knew he was 8 shots back. But if anybody can come from that far behind, Rory's got the firepower to do it, that's for sure. He can do it anything. He can do anything on the golf course.
Man, I'm getting a real sense of deja vu there.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
Those were literally your words about him with the Masters. But when it comes to the leaderboard here, I'm very surprised to see that the usual names, they're not really there. Max Homa had a very strong day two, by the way, to get himself within 3 of the lead. One of the better players there. He's in the top 5 right now. Scottie Scheffler also tied with Max Homa there at 5 under par. What has it been like, though, with the PGA Championship, and how frustrating it has been for some of these guys when it comes to the usual suspects are the ones that are kind of struggling the most right now?
I think a lot of people are looking at the golf course. I've heard a lot of positive comments, but I've heard just as many negative. And normally, you know, it's mostly rave reviews. When they're at Oak Hill, it's rave reviews, you know. But there's some peculiarities there, I think, that, sometimes the way the course gets set up, you don't always identify the best player. But having said that, there's 4 rounds, and we've only gone through 2 of them, and we're halfway there. And now the flame gets a little hotter for those guys like Jonathan Vegas up at the top who have never been in this position before, and all of a sudden they are, and they haven't shown any form this year. So it'll be tough. It'll be interesting. I think the field's still wide open. I'm not joking. I think if Rory goes out and shoots a 64 or something today, then things could change, and who knows how the day's going. They had to push tee times back and go from 2s to 3s. Because there was some weather. From what I understand, mostly north, a lot of electricity in it, so they had to slow things down. But they'll get it in today, and the weekend should be exciting and fun to watch because there'll be some double bogeys and there'll be some birdies.
So you mentioned Rory McIlroy. Scottie Scheffler is one Derek mentioned. You know, tied for fifth, five under par right now, three off the lead. He's had, I feel like, in the Masters, it wasn't the best. Like, he started coming back on the final day after moving day, right? Does he have a chance? He was the betting favorite going into this event. Where do you see him on moving day today and tomorrow? Do you think he can pop up there and stay there over Vegas?
Oh, I think he's going to end up winning this event is what I think is going to happen. I'm just I'm thinking it might be closer because, you know, Scotty could put the nail in the coffin today. He's that type of player. The first day they had a bunch of mud balls out there. It was a tough day on the golf course. And, you know, it was tough when you got mud on your golf ball to hit anything close to an accurate shot. So there were some circumstances out there. He is only won once this year, but he's been playing well and he's coming back from an injury. And he is one of the greatest ball strikers ever. And he's super impressive and he's been playing well. And like in my mind, if I had to bet on somebody right now, it'd certainly be Scottie Scheffler.
Jeff, right now, I mean, you mentioned mud balls. We're going to ask you about that. What is the best way to go about neutralizing that as a factor? Do you just have to kind of deal with it? Or is there a different swing you have to do to kind of, I guess, be able to accommodate for them?
You know, we had this conversation on Tee to Green this morning, and it's one of those things. There's no hard science. You're out of luck. Yeah. You just got to kind of fire and hope you catch a good break. The way I try to get through it through the years is if I had a mud ball. So if I told this story this morning or this tip, say I had to hit a 7-iron into a green, what I would do is I would take my 6-iron. I'd move it back in my stance. I'd choke up on it and I'd rip at it. And I try to hit it much lower. My thought process was if I kept the ball from going higher in the air, it wouldn't curve as far off line. And if it started to curve, maybe it would hit the ground earlier and I'd keep it in play a lot easier because you have almost zero control depending on how much is on there and your lie and all these other factors. But once you launch a ball into the air and it's got mud clinging to one side of it, all the aerodynamics are shot. You don't know anything where it's going to go. That's why when they asked Scotty about it, it's like as he said, you play all your life to control the golf ball, and as soon as there's mud on it, you have no control of the golf ball.
Well, you mentioned earlier in the in our interview here that the starters where we're looking at right now, McIlroy and some of the stronger players that are normally up towards the top, getting adjusted to the course, right? And the reviews aren't great. Even DeChambeau hasn't been able to. You've seen some rough shots from these guys. Rory throwing a club yesterday. When you're that tilted, I guess, mentally, how do you recover from that? I know these guys are pros, and you know, it's kind of expected for them to do so. But what do you do from there?
Mentals isn't most of the game, right? Especially at that level. I mean, they're obviously very physically talented, and there's a lot of pressure, and you put the most pressure on yourself. You know, you want to achieve these goals. You work super hard to be where you are. You consider yourself one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world. And when you're not performing to that standard, you get upset. But these guys, you know, it's a pattern. You know, it's in golf. Tomorrow's another day, so you try to fight through the round the best you can. I guarantee not. They might get mad, but none of them have quit on a shot. Nobody gave up because they're just still going to fight as hard as they can. It may not be as fun a day, but you know, a night's sleep and a warm up on the range the next day. Maybe some go work on whatever you weren't doing well on the range after your round and get it tightened up and. Yeah, you'll be fine the next day. That usually doesn't carry over. Normally won't even carry over till the next shot. It can with certain players, but yeah. And sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it shakes you out of your funk that you're in. You know, you're going along, you're not doing it. If you get mad at yourself, sometimes you kind of, give yourself a good talking to out there and start playing a little better.
Jeff, when it comes to the local scene, everything like that, obviously the weather, it's getting better now. It's time to thrive and get out on the courses. What is something that you can do on an everyday basis, just being out there with your friends or with some colleagues to go play? What's like some of the little things that you can always do if you're just going out there to try to improve your game?
You mean when you're just out playing on the golf course?
Just out on the golf course. Like, you don't have, like, if say you're someone that doesn't have time to go and get some lessons or something like that. But, like, what's one of the little things that you can do if you're able to just go out there and try to help improve it while you're out there on the course?
You know, if you have the opportunity, you play a couple golf balls, you know, maybe play worse shot, which will teach you to hit, depending on your level of play, will teach you to hit more consistent golf shots, keep the ball in play more. Going out and playing with fewer clubs. Go out and play with three clubs or four clubs. Grab a putter, a wedge, a 7-iron, and a 3-wood and go play. And you'll see you won't score that differently. You'll learn to be a little bit more creative. Spend a lot of time chipping and pitching. If you're waiting and there's no one behind you on the hole, instead of just kibitzing on the tee, go back to that green you were just on and hit a bunch of chips and try to get the ball close from different spots and find the hardest chip you can and work on your short game, because the best players have the best short games. And then just doing some drill swings in between while you're waiting your turn to hit. If you have some good swing drills that you got from your PGA professional, hopefully not your buddies. that would, you know, doing some drill swings while you're waiting around or sitting in the fairway is always going to help too.
That's the good stuff right there, Jeff.
Well, wrapping up here, Jeff, not PGA Championship related, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, are you getting in on any Preakness action today? And if you are, who do you like?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about, I know more than most probably, because we talk about it on the show once in a while, but Brian Koziel, he's a big time gambler. I don't know if you know that about Brian, but he's going to be placing a bet for the Tee to Green team while he's there. Ryan Hassenauer, who we had on, who I'm referring to, he'll make the picks for us. And we haven't had so much luck lately, so I don't get very excited about the horse races. Usually we don't win. So I'll be watching golf today anyway, so it won't matter.
There you go.
Gotcha.
But that's the good stuff though, Jeff. And appreciate being able to talk to you here. Enjoy the weather while you can, if it's not raining near you. It looks like it's spotty right now.
Cleared up near us.
It already cleared up after raining just like for a couple seconds. But definitely enjoy the weather as it has been improving overall.
Yeah, let it rain today. I'll be inside watching the golf anyway.
There we go.
There you go.
And also, here's your additional plug there. If you do have time to get lessons, go talk to our guy, Jeff Mitas.
At the dojo, yep.
Jeff at the dojo, and he will teach you what you need to know to improve your game, just like he was passing some of that wisdom here on the airwaves, not just earlier today, but with us just now. So, Jeff, appreciate it. Always good to talk to you, my friend, and we'll do again soon.
Well, thanks for having me, and I think you're the only one I haven't taught there, by the way. So,
I keep dodging golfing, and maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, are you a good athlete? I mean, you play hockey. That doesn't count.
Yeah, I was going to say good is very subjective here, and I'm very self-aware.
Well, if you're decent, well, we can get you playing. It's a fun game. Ask your buddies there at the station there. Everybody loves it for a reason. So you're welcome to come in. I'll get you started someday.
Appreciate that, Jeff, and always appreciate you with everything.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks for having me, and enjoy the rest of your show.
All right. That's Jeff Mitas, PGA Pro. You hear him on Tee to Green every Saturday with Brian Koziel and Kevin Sylvester. And just a genuine good human being.
Yep. Got a little bit of
golf
talking
here today. One of my favorites to have ever worked with, especially when I ran the board for that show back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good. Jeff also helps me with my hip-hop repertoire.
Yes. Hip-hop aficionado.
Hip-hop aficionado. So, Jeff is awesome. And I wanted to ask something like on a common thing for like people that are going out there, because even though I don't golf, I still think it's nice for him to part his wisdom on, hey, you know, if you're not able to go out and get lessons on the routine, if you are too busy, for example, what are some ways that you can improve your game a little bit? What are some ways that you can try to self-drill? Or if you are taking lessons, what are ways that you can keep trying to do that sort of thing? Just so that your golf day doesn't become frustrating.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. Play worst ball, best ball, right? And you're a scramble is a perfect way to do that. Group of three, you take the best person's shot, but you all three still hit every shot. Yeah. And you just take the best person's ball, right? And so gives
instead
you a chance.
Do the worst one?
You could do really, the worst one, like he said, too. That makes it even more challenging. Might help you hone some things in and really understand what you're doing wrong.
Could you imagine, like, two people, like, you hit some pretty decent shots. The third one puts it in the trees, and we're like, I guess
it's
going into the forest.
It's out of bounds. You have to drop it. Yeah, it's just, you know, it obliterates the game. But, you know, sometimes.
That was the first ever swing I took.
That happened?
I was trying to learn it for the first time. And the first swing I take, it goes left, like probably about 40 feet, and it goes left hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, I did not hit that thing well at all. And I remember screaming mulligan.
Mulligan. You get the breakfast mulligan right off the bat, breakfast ball.
First ever shot, I'm crying for a do-over. So that's how golfing goes for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's still something that I hope, though, that people that are into golf, make sure you're listening to Tee to Green. Because they're not just talking about the pros. They're talking about what's going on around here and what can you do to improve your game.
Yep.
So that's always fun for me to look at there.
I'm going to be intrigued to see what Brian Koziel's Preakness bet is going to be, the Tee to Green group bet.
Tee to Green group Preakness bet. And you'll hear more about that when Brian Koziel is on with Ryan Hasenauer there at Batavia Downs. It was good to, you know, meet Ryan for the first time earlier this year when we were out there for the Legends and Expos.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And this is one of the busier days that Ryan Hasenauer is going to have because he's out there. It's one of the big three. It's Preakness. That's the second one of the Triple Crown. He's going to be doing everything that he has to do, and I don't envy it, but he's also going to squeeze in time because I know he will, and it's a good listen when he's on with Brian.
Oh, yeah, and you know who else was on with Brian for the Derby? Byron Brown.
But also Joe Cali.
I was, yeah. I popped on here and there, He did get the new president of Batavia Downs, which was interesting to hear, especially on Derby Day, his takes. But, yeah, horse racing's in my blood, so it's pretty exciting stuff. These days, my family gets pretty excited, and golf and horse racing, not things I ever thought I'd be speaking about on the airwaves, but, you know, it's exciting stuff to try something different here and there.
Try something different, and it's been a lot of that throughout today's show. We've covered the Amherst, we've covered the Bandits, PGA Championship, a little bit of horse racing sprinkled into this thing. There's a lot of a grab bag here today on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali, we're taking a break here on WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Forsling starts back. Jean Hébert and Graham Rank, the referees. A shot scores! Holy mackerel! How did that happen? Off the rush! Matthews comes in, and now the Leafs have grabbed the lead.
Austin Matthews scored a goal in the second round.
I feel like we might have spoken that into existence yesterday.
We needed to.
We were hammering that he had not done anything.
He had not done that ever,
yeah,
actually.
And I didn't know that till today.
So, he now has as many goals in the second round as teammate Nick Robertson. But it was a big one. It got the lead for Toronto 1-0 in a game they would win 2-0 to force game 7. Now, one of two things happens with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, this is Sports Talk Saturday once again. We'll talk some NHL playoffs right now, and then revisit it again with Joe Yurden coming up at 1 o'clock. This was a big deal to see Austin Matthews scoring that goal, and now the Toronto Maple Leafs have a chance to do one of two things. Either they fulfill their destiny as the ultimate playoff chokers of Game 7.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot lose another Game 7. You just cannot.
If they do,
it's just the Game 7 thing, it's enough at that point.
Yeah.
You can never take them seriously in a Game 7 if they lose another one.
That's where you're guaranteeing, like, Marner's not coming back. They're going to start doing something different. Like,
they would need to. There's a desperation on how to change the core. And you're also losing a key asset for nothing. And that is a tough thing to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But also, again, it just goes to the legacy of that core of the Toronto Maple Leafs that you've never won a Game 7. Because the series that they've won, they beat Tampa in 6. They beat Ottawa in 6. It seems like Game 7 is death oftentimes for this franchise, or at least this current core of them.
So that's the running joke.
It's the running joke, but also it is what's defining them. Fairly, unfairly, it doesn't matter. You cannot lose another Game 7. Because changes are going to be made to the team, to the core. Selfishly, the one thing I could take solace out of that is Mitch Marner is not coming back.
Does he come to Buffalo? That's still the question mark, but he won't be back.
But
in
at the
Toronto.
Very least, it's more than a 0% chance.
Yeah. Yeah, non-zero. That's
it's a non-0% chance. And that is enough to keep me alive. But the Leafs as a whole, they're still dealing with the injury to Stolarz. Wohl has a shutout, though, last night. Matthew Knies is injured right now, and he's the line mate with Marner and Matthews. Craig Berube saying yesterday, like, they don't know if he's going to play. That's very much a problem, potentially, for tomorrow night. But for Toronto and for an Atlantic Division rival, it all culminates tomorrow night in what are the Toronto Maple Leafs? Is this actually the year we should take them seriously? Or is this their destiny to lose in 7 games to better opponents? That is what we're looking at here. And it can shake the entire landscape of the National Hockey League if they lose.
I know I don't want to root for Florida in any way, but as a Toronto Maple Leafs hater and Mitch Marner believer, to get him possibly on the market, I'm kind of like, I'm maybe rooting for that.
I'm also thinking I'm sick of seeing the same old thing.
That is another way to look at it.
So there's an – like if Florida wins, for example, there's a decent chance at a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup final because both teams are in the conference finals at that point.
I think Edmonton, though, could play a game and actually I could see that
going the other
way.
But I also think that Florida is not as good as they were last year.
Right.
Matthew Tkachuk is continuing to play through injuries that are hampering his abilities. He's not good this season, in this postseason. He's not. He's actually been very bad. Ever since the first game of the Four Nations tournament against Canada, Matthew Tkachuk has suffered.
Yep.
He was injured to a point where it's not working for him right now. And for the second postseason in a row, it has got it has come to a point where it's you're just here to be the leader. It's basically season three of Shoresy, where he's too hurt to really make an impact. He can't skate. There's a reason that Toronto can realistically win this thing. There's a reason it goes to seven here, and it is because Tkachuk's got nothing right now. Their best player that they traded for a couple of years ago has nothing right now because he is too battered, he is too beat up. But he's going to try to play through it. It seems like their team's a little bit disjointed right now, and it may have to do with the fact that the team has gone to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. That's a lot of hockey to play, especially for a physical team. Bobrovsky's been solid throughout the series for Florida, though, so goaltending is not the issue. It is going to come down to, can Wall out-duel Bobrovsky again? Both of these teams have top-end talent, high-end scoring capabilities, incredible players that can make incredible plays on the regular. Florida, you've got Barkov, you've got Reinhardt. Marchand is still a very good player with his skill. And then, of course, Toronto. You've got Nylander, Matthews, Marner, on a lesser extent, Tavares. You've got guys that, on both sides, they can put the puck in the net at a terrifying pace. But the goaltending and the defense is also good enough that you don't know what's going to happen. I really am interested to see, why am I talking about this team so much right now? It is because the entire NHL can spin on its head if Toronto loses again. Because players like Mitch Marner do not come to free agency very often. They don't.
Yeah, and that's it's kind of the Goldilocks effect there, right? That'd be a perfect candidate, superstar, to sift into your lineup and make a difference. And no expectations. That's my sales pitch to him. The only expectation, Mitch, is breaking that wall. That's it.
Just get us there.
Get into the first series. Don't have to win it.
Not even don't have to win it. It's from there we can change the narrative.
Yeah.
That is, if I'm any team, I'm pitching that tomorrow.
And of course, a big part of the pitch is who's pitching it. And it's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. For him, specifically.
Even if he doesn't sign in Buffalo, for example, though. I don't know where he signs, but I do know that it changes a lot of things. A team that signs Mitch Marner, for example, can get more aggressive. Say it's Chicago. You get an elite setup man with Connor Bedard, and you try to really help get your team back on track after you cannot solve how to rebuild a team right now. Chicago is really not knowing what to do. Oh, coming from Buffalo. Yeah, I know. Shut up. But there's a lot to what is going on there with Marner, with Matthews, Tavares. Probably like can you convince Tavares to sign at a cheaper deal for a couple of years? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But if say they both don't come back in Marner and Tavares. That is two of the big four from Toronto already gone at that point, and you have a 100-point player sized hole in your lineup. How aggressive does Toronto get in the trade market then? Do they go after, say, like a Vancouver with Elias Pettersson? The Canucks are looking like a team that they're going to hit the reset button, and it sounds like they are very cognizant that they know that Quinn Hughes is probably going to leave once he hits UFA status.
Mm-hmm.
Besser's a free agent. You can go and get a like say Mitch Marner's on the free market. If you don't get him, do teams overpay for a Brock Besser, for example? AKA the Villalano effect. It was Brad Richards.
Yep.
Who was the penultimate UFA. The Sabres pitch that, they fail, they go get Villalano on a massive contract, and it didn't work. I'm not saying Brock Besser's Villalano, not even close. But a team might overpay Besser because they miss out on Mitch Marner. There's a lot of interesting dynamics on what can happen this season if Toronto loses tomorrow night. That's the part that genuinely fascinates me.
Mm-hmm. Is where's the narrative go from there?
And where does it go for the Sabres in particular is the other issue with this. Obviously, the Sabres could go and try to get a player like that. But there are a lot of questions left. Is Bowen Byram going to sign longer term with this team? We don't know that.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, what happens if he wants a bigger role? Because right now his role is top 4 minutes, but no power play time.
Right.
Because the two players in front of him are Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power on the power play. I don't know if you're going to get what you want out of that.
No. And I remember we were talking to Brian Koziel on Locker Cleanout Day, clearing that up. And
anytime he was asked that question, he kind of shied away from it.
But he actually somewhat answered it to Paul Hamilton as the season ended, saying he's not against that.
Yeah. So the problem is that the actions also have to be there.
Mm-hmm. But he also...
But Byram, as a cost-controlled initiative, for example, mm-hmm. say you need to make an upgrade.
Yeah.
Or you need to move on from Byram because you know he's not going to be a longer-term asset for you.
I think that's how a lot of fans feel currently.
If that's the case, Byram is a cost-controlled RFA on defense that you can then flip for a guy who has term. Because you can trade him to a team that would get him his role and he would sign with that team because he's cost-controlled right now at RFA status.
Mm-hmm.
That allows you an opportunity there. The Amerks also having a couple of players within this pipeline, for example, you can get risky and you can trade a forward on this team for an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
The first person I think of is Jack Quinn. If you can sell a team on, you got this, you could fix him, it's just not working for us here. But look at the end of his season. He started producing again. So it looks like he might be back. That's something you could sell to other teams.
Yeah.
I hate saying this, but Paterka's probably a good candidate to flip, depending on the defenseman you get back. Very dependent on that.
No, you're right. I think moves are going to have to be made similar to that, though, to get the Sabres where they have to be. Kevin Adams
can look at this team and go, I've got Hellenius playing probably his age 19 to 20 this season in Rochester,
mm-hmm.
and I'm perfectly fine there. I've got Oslin waiting in the wings. I've got Rosane waiting and should be getting a longer NHL look, whether it's here or elsewhere. Kulik has graduated. He is a full-timer in the NHL next year.
Absolutely.
There is a lot there for the Sabres that it allows your offseason to progress in a different way. You have pro-ready prospects, not one, but multiple.
And you don't have room for all of them.
You don't have room for all of them.
So use them as capital.
So either you could trade players from your roster or one of them. Maybe both, depending on the player you can get back.
Right. It all depends.
And there are plenty of teams and players that still do not have their no-move clauses, for example, that you can make this work.
Mm-hmm. You had the number one prospect pool in the NHL for quite some time. Now it's starting to actually show them being ready to go to NHL.
The fruits are starting to show up.
Exactly.
Because think about percentages, okay?
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago, Rochester starts its emergence as an AHL contender.
Yeah.
And that's on the backs of JJ Paterka, Jack Quinn, and Peyton Krebs.
Yeah, the kid line.
The trio. And your percentages on that. Which one? So you've got one out of three that hit as a top six forward.
Only one of them.
Only one of them. But it's still one of them. Absolutely one of them. And in the NHL, you draft so many players that you are going and you're collecting prospects from trades.
You're going to have misses.
You're going to have misses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, round two of that is starting. Kulik graduated. You have one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He is a top line center for you last year and almost scored 20 goals in his first season as a pro in the NHL while dealing with multiple injuries. Not bad, kid. And you also allowed Tage to continue to create, moving him onto the wing because he doesn't have the capabilities as defensive responsibility as the 20-year-old.
Yeah. But look at how well that was working towards the end of the season.
And Kulik really did fit well with Thompson and Tuck.
Yeah. That line should absolutely stick around. Like, that should be where you start from next season.
That's
that
where
was
you
great.
Should be starting from. And then Peterka with Norris, and then you figure out the next wing.
And hopefully Norris is healthy, because I'd like to actually see him on ice in a healthy capacity to know what he's truly capable of.
I'm okay with the fact that it was not a shoulder injury. It was an oblique injury.
Right. It was different. It wasn't the same nagging injury.
He did also
had.
Say, if it was a playoff race, I would have been in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably Buffalo saying, take your time. It's a lost season for us right now.
You're not going to worry. It's 100% right. And that's what I say to a lot of people who are like, oh, Norris isn't panned out. I'm like, how can you say that now?
They're keeping him out for a reason.
Yes. They're not going to. Imagine him getting
season.
More injured in a meaningless end of the season where you're eliminated.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you do that?
Or even when you were mathematically alive.
1%?
It was not. You had to vault everybody.
Listen, I love an underdog. I love a long shot. That was not happening.
And while the rest of the Eastern Conference was not willing to take wild card 2, neither were you.
Yeah. You're part of the problem.
Yeah, you were part of the problem. But also, you were still too late anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I'm not risking my long-term 2C for a 1% shot.
No.
I'm not.
And
it's not good business.
Like they said, though, if they made it, Norris would be in. He said it. He would be in. So that's what you want to hear, truthfully, because they're being smart about a player they acquired and doing things the right way. That's already a step in the right direction.
Yes. And watching last night, you see how that, like, Kulik being there is just not fair, by the way.
No. That's an NHL guy just blowing up the AHL playoffs.
Rosane with 3 points last night, and it wasn't just out of skill. There was a lot of it that his assist was he outfights a person twice to shovel a puck to the middle of the net where Rusek's able to then tap it in.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much about Isaac Rosane. He needs an extended look now in the NHL.
Yeah.
But the question is who? Who do you get rid of from the lineup? And that is probably to upgrade someone on defense. That's the only way you can really do it right now. Kevin Adams is perfectly fine with letting the players develop in Rochester, and if they need to be there for longer than they are supposed to, that's probably a better idea than bringing someone into the lineup sooner than they should be. Perfectly okay with that. Are the Sabres good enough, quote-unquote, to allow the prospects to sit in the minors? No. But is it healthier? Probably.
It's what, look at Devon Levi as the biggest example of that.
Yes.
That is the prime example of, hey, might not be best for your NHL team right now, but you can't just throw him in there.
It's best for you.
Yeah, it's best for your team's future.
And also for us.
Mm-hmm.
That you go back down to the minors and really work on this, because it's clear that Levi, in particular, needs the majority of games.
He needs the constant play to stay fresh.
He needs the constant play. He's not a number two at that point.
No.
Based on how he works with that. He looked better when he initially came to the Sabres and he was playing every game right off the jump.
Yeah, to end that stretch of the season. Yeah.
He played better there because he was getting the majority of games.
Mm-hmm. But when he gets cold and not playing for a while, he can't just bounce back into the position.
Exactly.
Which is honestly a good problem to have if you're looking to be a starting goaltender.
Yes.
If you want to, you can play a majority of the games. That's when you're at your best.
But also, it's dealing with a different schedule, though, too, is the other part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the AHL, for example, it's your job. In college, it's not your job yet. In college hockey, it's not your job. You're playing on weekends. You're going to school, and that's it. Like, that's not your job. Your job is not a hockey player. Not yet. For those that do break through, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And now Levi is learning the schedule of how to deal with this. He is dealing with the physicality of the AHL. There's still a semblance of hope. There is a degree of hope there.
Yes.
How much are you willing to listen to that? I will not negate or berate you for your answer.
No, if you're hopeless.
If you're pissed, mm-hmm. You're pissed. I cannot do enough to convince you because I don't want to. The Sabres have not earned that
No.
effort from me. But I'm not going to sit here and say everything's crap, there's no hope, don't bother. I'm never going to be that person, because there's always something that you can look at on a struggling franchise and still see something that you can take away.
Mm-hmm.
Because also that's a healthier way to look at life.
Glass half full.
Not necessarily half full.
Quarter full.
Did I find the one interesting thing in there? Did I find the one piece of chocolate in the trail mix?
The last M&M.
The last M&M in the trail mix.
And then it's just raisins.
Is there something sweet hanging around in the Sabres organization? Yes.
Here's the thing.
If the Sabres make the playoffs with this roster, I don't necessarily think that there's a way that, like, the minute that they make this postseason drought end, say Kevin Adams is still the general manager, mm-hmm. and they end the playoff drought, how many sins are very quickly forgiven? Probably almost all of them?
Yes, I would say so. I think the excitement of getting over the hump finally will cancel out all of the grief. The Bills even. Look at when they broke their drought, right? Rex Ryan, like all of that. Right. Doug Marrone. All of the bad EJ Manuel. That was a afterthought.
Yeah.
The team was just finally in the playoffs again.
Yes.
Doesn't matter who it was with. Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback. And doesn't matter what happened. Because right. they got obliterated by Jacksonville. Not obliterated, but they got shown out.
It was very boring.
It was bad.
It was unfortunately boring.
Yeah. But I think once you get to that point, once you've broken it up, I think you move on from there as a new organization in your mindset. That's, I think, what happens.
And, for example, like this Mitch Marner dream, by the way, there are some cap gymnastics that would have to happen. First of all, buying out Samuelson would probably be the first move that you absolutely have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to work from there. So it wouldn't be easy.
No.
But there's, again, a non-zero percent chance. Jonathan tweeting in, Sabres cap space does not look to be reasonable to acquire Marner, but Tavares might be workable as he would be around likely half the cost. That option should be more of a discussion. And I think that's an interesting one because, ready? There is a Tavares in Buffalo.
There is.
Yeah.
Bandits head coach John Tavares.
So say the Leafs lose and they think about removing the core. You get rid of half of it in UFA because they're done.
Yeah.
I would not mind John Tavares on this team.
No. There's, like you said, already a successful John
Tavares.
Give
me a 3-year deal on John Tavares at 34. He still plays at a high enough level that at 34, I'm not scared of a 3-year deal.
No. He hasn't shown he's tapering off at any point. So
he also plays such a solid, steady game, two-way game, that he would work for you.
He'd be a post in the ground for your organization because he's not wavering at any point. He's the flagpole you cling to.
And you have maneuverability at center, for example, if you need to kick Norris over or if you need to kick Kulik over for something.
Mm-hmm. Injury sake, anything like that, yeah.
It would be an interesting thing for like your top six or even your middle six, so to say, with Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Sabres would be signing him without putting him in the top six.
No, absolutely not. But if they're going to sign somebody,
but if he's a pure center, for example, you've got some work to do.
Yeah. I think they're going to do it, though. I really do. I think this offseason, it's do or die for Kevin Adams. He's going to have to.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to be.
And there's a lot of a fallout, again, from what can happen in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk with Joe Yerden about this at 1 o'clock. Plenty more about that, as well as the rest of the NHL playoffs. On Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer and Joe Kelly here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hour number two coming to a close here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you. Joe Yurton coming up next as we talk more about the NHL playoffs and hockey as a whole. By the way, this is just how much of a hockey junkie I am, for example.
Yeah.
I saw that the Rochester Americans are going to have watch parties for the rest of the series against Laval. So.
Oh, good.
So
you might
I would
have to drive out to Rochester for the watch party.
I mean, I could watch the game. I don't know if I need to drive out to a party to watch it, for example. But, you know, for those out in Rochester, that's great. I love that for them. And I would imagine there's going to be a watch party tomorrow for the Bandits in game two. Based on weather, I would imagine it will be inside. But
yeah,
tomorrow's going to be very fascinating for fans because...
Could be the end of the season.
Could be the end of the season
in
with
Saskatchewan.
Another championship.
Yep, three-peat.
Again, obnoxious.
They've, like we said, they've been there five seasons in a row. Could come away with a trophy 3 out of 5. You're shooting over 50 at that point.
Insane. Insubordinate.
And churlish. D-nice.
It is kind of obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of obnoxious, the noted jerk himself coming up next here. Joe Yurton joins us at the top of the hour on Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.